To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Albina Jazz Festival at the Stingray Cafe on Saturday, August 12th, and Sunday, the 13th, in Portland. The Albina Jazz Festival is a two-day jazz festival featuring performances by King Louie and LaRonda Steele, Ron Steen and Jam Session, the Chris Brown Quartet, and many more. Again, that's the Albina Jazz Festival on Saturday, August 12th, and Sunday, the 13th, at the Stingray Cafe, 240 North Broadway Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
You're tuned into Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. Hi everyone, my name is Carlos. I'm your host for tonight's Prison Pipeline program. And this evening we're focusing in on transitions. And we're talking about transitions in kind of a variety of ways, but what you're going to hear is an interview that I did with some of the youth that I work with at McLaren Youth Corrections. For those of you that know me, you know that I run a variety of different groups at McLaren Youth Corrections, also at Multnomah County Juvenile. And I've got a variety of different things that are going on right now. But I took, you know, I carved out a little piece of time to sit with my guys and my radio group to talk a little bit about what the transitions have been for them in terms of, you know, coming into the juvenile justice system and navigating through the system, because they've all got different stories to tell. They've all gone in different directions and have had to deal with different things as they've gone through that system. But not only that, they've been getting older and they've been maturing that whole time. And, you know, what have the internal transitions, what has that been looking like for them? You know, what are some of the pivotal moments that they've learned over time? So I'm not going to waste too much of your time with this introduction. I'm going to just get right down to it, and we're going to throw a little bit of that audio on here so that you can hear those interviews. So enjoy.
Hi, what's up, man? This is Ezekiel.
My name's Robert.
It's your boy, Trey.
Mauricio.
My name's Justin.
Cool.
And I'm Carlos, the host with the most.
So the topic that we're kind of addressing with the program today is transitions. You know, transitions, change, growth. You know, I always like talking about growth because I think it's important. You know, that folks understand that. I mean, you guys are getting older every single day that you're here. Yeah. You know, and just because you guys are here doesn't mean that you guys are just like doing nothing. You know what I mean? Like just sitting stagnant or anything like that. That especially you guys are making the best. You know, like best amount
amount of your time that you can, you know, getting involved in a variety of different things and stuff. But what I'm interested in finding out today is kind of like, I mean, I want you to kind of think back, like when you first arrived, you know, and when you first started to kind of come out this way, you know, for, you know, a long-term stay, you know, eventually landing you here at McLaren. But I'm just curious as to kind of what were some of those pivotal moments for you, you know, transition-wise. What do you feel were some of the challenges? What do you feel have been like more inspirational and motivating, like pivoting moments that you've had while you've been here? Because I know that, you know, I always see a lot of growth from you guys, but it's like there'll be spurts that I see where all of a sudden, boom, guys just really start to grow quite a bit. And, you know, there's always a variety of different factors, you know. But I'm interested to hear from you guys kind of what were some of your initial feelings, you know, when you first came, and, you know, what was it, what were your expectations, and kind of ultimately, what has that kind of turned into now?
Well, for me, I transitioned from, to get to McLaren where I'm at currently, I had to go several steps. So my first 18 months, I had battled my case for 18 months in detention. So I was in Donnelly Long in Portland for a long time. During those times, I definitely was fresh into the correctional system. I was definitely knucklehead. You know, my boy Trey, you remember those days back in the day, 3X shirts, 3X pants, you know? But like during that time, you know, after I got sentenced, I really did lose hope. And then going to YA, I was just like, well, you know, it's just going to be what I'm keep doing now and probably even worse, you know, because now I got 20 years that I got to do. So to me, I was just like, well, there's nothing for me except for going messing up and going to prison early, you know? Honestly, that's what I was thinking. And then I had arrived to county, stayed in county for a little bit, and then I went to Coffee Creek, and then from Coffee Creek I went to Hillcrest. And I was with my brother, and me and my brother were on separate units, and I was just thinking like, man, like, I wonder what's gonna happen from here. And I stayed at Hillcrest for about a year. I ended up getting my high school diploma, which I was really proud of myself of doing, because I never really thought I was gonna get those type of things. So then that year came after I was at Hillcrest and I was still kind of messing up. I came to McLaren, and honestly, my transition to McLaren was pretty good. Like, I was behaved pretty well. I was doing all right for about like over a year, and I got in some serious trouble. But through all that, now I'm kind of more stable and just doing my thing and just going to college. But I think it just really took time. And like, my expectations were a lot different of what transition was gonna be to where I am now. I mean, I think that's for most people, you know, your first couple years is always like the hardest because you're trying to settle in. You're probably getting in fights, you know, having issues with staff, power control, you know, especially for a lot of young guys in here. I think that's like the biggest situation that happened to me during my transition.
So, Trey, when I was at JDH with Ezekiel, I mean, I went on In-N-Out once, and then I got kicked off of B1, well, B2 to B, and I got transitioned to B2. Well, Ezekiel actually got kicked off of B2 too, and he moved to B1 with me. Well, he was there first, and then I ended up showing up later. Well, I graduated JDH, and they actually transferred me when I turned 18 to MCDC. And I was there for about a month, and I think it was like 23-hour lockdown or something like that. And I ended up moving to Coffee Creek, which is, Inverness. I went to Inverness, so it was like a better transition. But I was wrapped in this mindset of where I felt like I had to prove myself in a sense. So it was like anybody that disrespected, I felt like I had to act out violently. And I did most of my time in county in the hole. And then I went to Hillcrest. Well, I didn't even know about OYA until I, on my transport. They actually woke me up pretty early. And I was at Coffee Creek because they thought I was going to DOC for a long time, for like, I want to say 20-something days. And then one day they just woke me up after I talked to my counselor. It was like the day after I talked to my counselor. They were like, he was like, oh, you're eligible for OYA. And they woke me up the next morning and they sent me out. And then I got to Hillcrest, and when I got to Hillcrest, I went on intake, and I was there with a couple of dudes that I was in JDH with, but still, I think it was just that repetitive that repetitive mindset of I need to prove myself, you know? Like, I want to make a name for myself and be known, you know what I'm saying, within this organization of OIA, you know? And, I mean, of course, when you come in, you hear about a lot of people, but it's all negative, like, oh, this dude knocked this person out, or, you know what I'm saying, something like that. So I feel like I wanted that reputation because those guys had respect, you know? And I mean, like other guys, they usually go to different facilities. But I first came to the MAC, and they called this the Gladiator School. You know, so this was my first transition is when I got here, and it was really big compared to Hillcrest, you know. I think you could fit like 6 Hillcrests or 5 Hillcrests. I don't know how many, but you could fit a lot of Hillcrests within McLaren, you know. We got actually acres outside of the fence. Well, that the youth can't really see. I mean, you can see it, but you can't. You mean it's not accessible to us. So when I first got here, I mean, I was getting in trouble, you know, fighting in the school. But then they actually shut the school down while I was here. And I had to go to Rogue Valley, which is in Grants Pass, which is extremely far from my family. So the family connection really wasn't there. And I wasn't getting visits like that anyways. But the little visits that I did have were completely done, you know. And my family, why would they drive 5 hours, you know, to come see me for, you know what I mean, a weekend and then drive all the way back to Portland? They got lives to live, you know. And I really wasn't involved in Hope Partnership like that back then. Shout out to Hope Partnership. So Hope Partnership was, when I was at McLaren the first time, they were actually in full swing, you know. And I remember I went to one group, and it was a skateboarding group, and I went to one Toastmasters back in the day, and I did my icebreaker back then. But back to what I was saying, when I got to Rogue Valley, it was a lot of younger youth, you know. So the minute I walked on the campus, I mean, people already knew me from JDH, and then the fights that I was getting into, you know, where it's travel in OIA, you know, because it's so small. I mean, a lot of people move out to different facilities. So, I mean, say if I know Ezekiel, he moved to North Coast, and that's my boy, you know what I'm saying? They're going to be like, well, who's that McLaren? And then that's how the word gets around, you know? And when I got to Rogue Valley, it was pretty easy to transition in a sense because they were so young, you know, and I had this I'm not going to say grown man, you know, but my mindset was way above than these little kids, you know, like they were running out of units trying to fight people and, I mean, just doing ignorant things. So my main focus was to graduate high school and get back to McLaren, you know, because they had a lot, because I guess they turned this into vocation center, you know, the vocation facility. And there's a lot of opportunities here. And to tell you the truth, I didn't take advantage of all of them when I was here the first time. So I kind of told myself then, it was like, look, I got to get it together. So I got my LTC, which is the highest tag down there, and which is a blazer here. So when I transitioned back, they actually sent me to McKay, which is, I mean, everybody likes to call it the PC unit, you know? But I was waiting for a bed to open up on Kincaid, which is the high-tech unit. When I got over to Kincaid, I think Ezekiel was there already. So, I mean, we was on a good path, but then I ended up getting kicked off of Kincaid. And yeah. We all got kicked off of Kincaid, me, Ezekiel, and a few other people. Well, I ended up transitioning to Grover. I mean, Dunbar to Oak Grover. And when I was over there, it was just so hard because it's so strict, you know? And it's like, man, I constantly watching, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a staff watching me. They always on you. And I got into, like a little bit of trouble. And they had this thing. It was just completely isolated, you know? That you'll be stuck to the unit for 30, you know what I mean, 90 days or something, depending on the individual, really, you know? And I didn't get along with the treatment manager. So it kind of took its toll. And I was just like, man, I got to get off this unit, you know? So I pulled the race card. I ain't even gonna lie. But I feel like it was true, you know. I feel like they was kind of discriminating against me. But I got in a lot of trouble while I was there. And I actually got put on a last contract agreement, which is like if I got into another fight, you know, that I was gonna go upstate. So I really had to, you know what I'm saying? I think that was my turning point. And even though my head was, I felt like I was kind of straight, you know, but that like really kind of set me straight, you know, because now I got these, in a sense, think about bowling. When you get the gates pulled up, you know, you can't really throw a gutter ball because the gates is going to guide you, you know what I mean, to success, and you're going to hit a pin. So that was the contract for me, you know. It was like, even though I wanted to go do this, you know, it was like that gate kind of hit me, you know what I'm saying? It bounced me back, you know what I mean, on a straight path. So I got extremely involved in Hope Partnership after I got off to that unit, and I actually went back to McKay, and I was just kicking it for a long time, and then I transitioned to Hall, and I just developed a mindset like stay off the unit, because that's where you get in trouble, you know, is on the unit. It's like if we all men, you know, and testosterone, you know what I'm saying, and conflict, you know, people talking. And sometimes that just gets irritating, you know what I'm saying? So you just gotta, if you stay off the unit, then you're, in a sense, you feel almost free, you know? And you got like a wide variety of things and whole partnership, you know what I'm saying? They do so many things that you could literally stay off the unit from Wednesday to Sunday, you know what I'm saying? Be off the unit if you doing your daytime, you know, you got a job, and then you go to groups right after work until like 8 o'clock at night. So that's what I kind of did for a long time. And then, I ended up achieving my competent communicators and Toastmasters, you know what I'm saying, this past Saturday. So, I mean, I feel like the sky's the limit, and then success and prosperity is within reach, but I'm my own successor.
This is Robert again. For me, when I first got locked up, I spent 19 months in Marin County, and I was 17 when I first went there. And it was hard because I was in the hole for the first 3 months. And the first 72 hours, I was on suicide watch because of the severity of my crime. And just once I got sober after those 3 days, and they gave me, you know, a bar of soap and a toothbrush and a fork, just made me so happy because I had all my freedoms stripped away from me. Just to be granted those little freedoms really mean a lot to me even now, just to be able to get up and make a cup of coffee on the weekends, because I know at the end of the day, you know, like I got a lot of time to do, and I can choose to do that time in the hole and just be confined in a little square with a bucket, essentially. And so I used to take a lot of things for granted growing up, and spending 19 months in county was really hard, because you hear a lot of people getting a lot of time for little things, and ultimately, you know, I got 40 years, and then I went to Coffee Creek, and I was there for a week, and it was nice because there were some older people that were there in county with me, and they kind of took me under their wing. It was like, oh, this is, you know, he's a good guy, he's young, he made a real bad mistake, you know, we need to watch out for him. And then just like these other guys, I didn't know what OYA was. You know, my parents, they like researched it and were telling me all these great things about McLaren. I was just like, oh, that's cool. You know, like I'm in county right now, you know, like I didn't go to juvenile detention, so I'm obviously going to prison. I'm not going to go to a juvenile facility. And then I was there for like 4 days, and they took me to Hillcrest. And once I got there, it was just different. Just from, you know, going back to high school for 19 months, I never had to go to high school in county. I had high school teachers trying to come, and all I needed was a quarter of credit to graduate, and I had high school teachers. My principal from the school was trying to come on and help me finish that last credit while I was in county for 19 months, and the higher-ups in the county jail just denied them. And once I got to Hillcrest, I was like, okay, you know, I only got a quarter of a credit. I'm going to bang this out. And then I came to McLaren, and they helped me within the first 3 months to get that quarter of a credit I needed and to pass my 2 state writing test. So I was really happy. Once I got here to McLaren, still had like a DOC mindset, you know, of just like, oh, you know, like you can't hang out with these individuals. You have to stay within your race, you know, like you can't take no disrespect. And it's still like that, but you can really just kick back and do your time here. And that's what I've learned to do. I've gone to college, you know, shout out to Hope and Janice, you know, three of us in this room got scholarships this year to go to college. And so that was something I never thought I was going to do once I got incarcerated. I never thought I was going to go to college. And now I got a scholarship to go to college, and that really means a lot. You know, my family's really proud of me, and I just realized that I do a lot of things for myself and for my family. And, you know, since I've been here almost 2 years, so I spent over half my time here, and I still got another 4 years and a long time to do upstate. And I just take advantage of all the opportunities that are offered here, like Project Pooch. We go down there, we clean up after the dogs, we train the dogs, we have to make flyers, videos, you have to take photos, you have to do everything, and you got to do person-to-person visits with the families that come in from outside of the community. And they don't really teach you that. You got to learn that as you go within the program. And so it's a really great program because you're learning to take care of another form of life, not just humans. And it gives you a lot of opportunities, just like Hope does. And for me, just being here at McLaren, I've seen a lot of people succeed. You know, there's someone in this room, they're on their last term of college for their associate's degree, and I never thought I was going to go to college and get a degree, and I'm thinking about doing it. And one of the biggest things that has been motivating to me is just seeing other people succeed and starting to get really into my physical fitness, stepping into that. And I see a lot of these people, you know, you got to live a healthy life, and that really helps you relieve a lot of stress that you have to deal with through the day. So it's nice to go and pump some iron and lift heavy and then be tired at the end of the day, because it helps you sleep better and just deal with your time.
This is Mauricio. Well, the transitions were all like, I don't know, it was, to me, when I transitioned from being free to detention, from detention to Hillcrest, and from Hillcrest to McLaren, it all felt like I was starting all over again. I don't know why, I just got this feeling like, I don't know, like, it's a new environment. I just wasn't used to it, you know? I just felt overwhelmed, and I don't know, it was weird. But when I came in, you know, I was on that mindset like, you know, I'm different than everybody. Like, nobody in here is like me. Like, I'm unique. I mean, like, I'm smart about my bitch, but in reality, if I was smart about my bitch, I wouldn't be in here. I wouldn't be locked up. But yeah, when I came in, I only had like 4 credits, and those credits were just from taking a test that showed that I knew how to speak Spanish. And I mean, I wasn't gonna fail that. That's my first language. And you know, when I was in detention, I was doing pretty good. I've only had a few conflicts, nothing serious. And you know, when I was getting ready to go to Hillcrest, you know, I was thinking, I'm like, yup, you know, there's older people there, you know, I'm gonna have to, like Trey was saying, prove myself, you know, stuff like that. So when I was on intake, I was there, I was giving everybody attitudes. I didn't care, really. And then, you know, there was this one kid, and he wasn't taking it. And then we ended up getting down. And it was just my first time in the hole. And I was just like, I don't know, it felt weird, you know? It was like being back in detention, but with this time I had no blanket, no pillow. Like, actually, we did have a blanket, but like, I don't know, you were busy trying to put that blanket under you so you're not feeling the cold ass mattress, and then trying to cover yourself with it at the same time and trying to use it as a pillow. It was just so difficult. And then, I don't know, then I was just thinking, I'm like, yeah, you know, like, I was looking over at everybody that's doing good at Hillcrest, because I moved to a living unit and there's just people, you know, going to college and, you know, they're done with high school and, you know, they're older doing stuff like barbering and stuff. And, you know, I looked at them as like role models, and I was just like, you know, I want to be like them, you know? And I was young. Like, I came in when I was 16, and I don't know, I just wanted to be like one of those mature guys, you know? I didn't want to be one of those dumbass little kids, because they were pissing me off too. And I was like, damn, I act like that? But yeah, I was just, the whole time I'm at Hillcrest, I was just busy doing, just trying to get my credits for high school.
One of the things for me, I feel like jail has like humbled me so much. You know, when I first came here, when I first got locked up, like in general, when I was out, a lot of my friends looked up to me, because like I was on my high horse. You know, I thought I was like the realest soul out there, you know? Like, I was like meditating, thinking like, oh, I'm so much smarter, everybody's so much more enlightened, you know? So a lot of people saw that air that I helped myself to, and they thought like, oh, maybe he really knows what you're talking about. Like, I was half-assing a lot of it. So me coming to jail, I really thought I was still that dude, you know? Like, I'm just so used to like being popular and everybody loving me, but then you come to jail and it's different, because like, people don't know you. You gotta start all over again, you know? And one of the things I like the most though, but like when it comes to mentoring, is when I'm on unit, like, I don't even really try. Like, now I'm just doing me, and like, kids come up like, man, look at you, man, you do so much around here. I'm trying to do what you do. I'm trying to be off unit all the time, go to groups, go to school. Like, and one of the kids that I teach how to weld down here too, he talks to me like, man, like, every time I'm down at Moody, like teaching or being a TA, they always look up to that type of stuff, and then like, they want to start doing stuff like that too, you know. So if, like, I'm just leading by example, like these two said over here, and like, sometimes I go out of my way and I try to mentor, but like, I feel like it's just better when it comes natural, you know. Yeah. Like, if you actually go out there trying to preach and be like, hey, you need to do this and do this, and like, yeah, they see what you do more than they hear what you say. So
actions speak louder than words.
Exactly.
There's so much more that I could take this, and I would love to have this conversation even further, but you know, we're out of time. But before we go, I want to make sure that this time you guys are able to get your shout outs on the air. So do your thing and
what's up?
Pass it around.
Ezekiel, I want to give a shout out to my carnal Hazard. What's up? I love you, bro. To my mom, to my family, to my pops, anybody who doubted me, actually, you know. Anybody who just thought I was going to be nothing, you know, that kind of motivated me. So thank you guys for doubting me. That sounds passive aggressive, but it's cool, you know, whatever. So I want to give a shout out to the homie Little Puppet, Boricua, Melissa, for coming today. Appreciate the support and love, and everybody who's there, you know, all the friends and homies that left here, that went upstate, the guys out there, the ones in Mexico, everybody. Kathleen Fullerton, whole partnership. What's up?
Trey, I really got too many shout outs, man, because it's going to be real broad. I want to give a big shout out to my immediate family, my sisters, my mom, RIP to my dad, the rest of my family, especially those who supported me. Shout out to the homies, and shout out to my daughter.
This is Robert. I'm going to give a shout out to my family, mom, dad, brother, sister, my nephew. Shout out to Lexus. Shout out to just my whole family and everybody that supports me.
Mauricio, shout out to my family. My family. The homies. The wife. The homies. My family. Thank you.
It's Justin. Shout out to my family, my mom, Brazel, my sister, Brianna, my nephew, Michaela, Adrian, everybody that's holding it down. A1 since day one, you know. Shout out to Savvy, Tessa, Diana, all y'all. Love y'all.
Hey, one more shout out, Ezekiel. Shout out to Carlos. It wouldn't be possible without the homie right here. Our voices wouldn't be out there. So thank you, man, for letting us get this opportunity to speak some knowledge. Hopefully some people, Morpheus Youth Project also, you know, Janice. So all whole partnership again, always. I'm just saying, man, without these people, it wouldn't be possible for us to see this transformation, honestly. I mean, it's us too, but it's the resources and the opportunity to change. So thank you, man. Thank you.
You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Our show today was on the many transitions that youth face during their journey through incarceration. And, you know, we're not just talking about, you know, physically what they've gone through, but it's also kind of that internal equation, you know, what, you know, reflecting on, you know, different changes that they've made along their path. These five students are guys that I've been that have been part of my group for some of them for years now, and I'm really proud of these guys. I've had a chance to really get a chance to witness their growth, and it's interesting how sometimes you just see, you know, leaps and bounds of growth that all of a sudden they just start to click, you know, and things just start to happen. And like, I just feel fortunate that I'm able to experience that and be able to be a part of that in some way, shape, or form. It's always fun for me. And so, you know, I want to give my shout out to my guys out there. They always put in a lot of work, and they really, you know, it's funny because I get out there with these guys and I give them, you know, these exercises, and we get involved in these different things that we're doing in group. And, you know, I'm basically trying to get them to step out of their shells. And every so often, I'm put in that position where it's time for me to step out of my shell, where they challenge me, and it reminds me that, hey, you know, on a regular basis, these guys are really putting themselves out there. And so I got to big up those guys for sure for doing that, you know, really putting themselves on the line, really putting themselves in kind of a vulnerable position so that they can extend their learning, you know, so that they can extend their growth and their maturity, and it really shows. So guys, if you're listening right now, You know, it's like you got nothing but love coming from me. So, and that's it for our show today. I want to thank our engineer, Danielle. Thank you so much for handling things on the board. And I'm just kind of, we'll go out with a little bit, a little piece of music. And thanks for tuning in, everyone. Enjoy your evening.
Footsteps, baby. Yeah.